You're listening to the Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast. Here's the deal. If you make disciples by sitting around and talking, you shouldn't be surprised when your disciples sit around and talk and talk and talk. This is the podcast for those weary of just talking and ready to start activating in the mission Jesus gave us to change the world. The Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast, where disciples and disciple makers gather to grow and go together. Here's your host, Dr. Matt Friedemann.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast today. Remember, the place for a man, for a woman completing all their powers is in the fight. And right now today, somewhere in the world, making disciples of the nations. So stay tuned, stay encouraged. We have a rendezvous with destiny. Great to have you with us today. Got some things we want to talk about, but first thing I want to talk about is about the sponsor of the program, Wesley Biblical Seminary. For the time being, I am the interim president of that school, and just so very happy to be here. And the reason is, I've been here for the better part of four decades, and it's better now than it has ever been. More students, more opportunities for discipleship, more compassionate ministries going on out there, more times being spent in prayer and Bible study. It's just a wonderful place to be. So check us out at wbs.edu. And for whatever it's worth, we have a lay program, a great lay program called the Wesley Institute, as well as a college, as well as obviously a graduate degree with master's programs, even a doctorate degree. So a lot of great things going on here. So check us out, Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu. Now, let's get to what we're going to be talking about today. First off, do you have a famous modern logo in your mind that you would say that is of my time on earth? That's the one that's probably most prominent. What would be the most famous modern logo? So I've lived long enough to have been raised on the golden arches of McDonald's. And we had, McDonald's in our little hometown of Great Bend, Kansas. So I just, that's kind of what mine goes to. But there's all kinds of them today. A lot have cropped up since then. For instance, the Rainbow Google or the Apple. Anybody remember that? The Apple logo with one bite out of the fruit. Starbucks. By the way, Starbucks, they need a really good logo with such pitiful taste in coffee. How do they charge that kind of money for that kind of coffee? Must be the logo. I went to college and I got good enough in college where Nike actually sent me free stuff to wear. And of course, the Nike swoosh was all the rage back then, and frankly, kind of still is. Or Coca-Cola. I mean, if you get a good logo, you can ride that logo for a good long time. But apparently, if you're going to sell stuff, you need a good emblem, a good logo, something that will make you memorable. Now, I was thinking about that and opened up a volume, old volume you used to have. I don't know if you ever heard the name Malcolm Muggeridge. He was a British journalist, was as pagan could be, but then one day found the Lord. He is credited, for whatever it's worth, for making Mother Teresa famous. He kind of pushed her big time, and people really fell in love with her because of his work on her life, on her situation there in Calcutta. But this is what Muggeridge said. When St. Paul starts off on his journeys, he consults with an eminent public relations man. Now, of course, he's dreaming all this up, but it's kind of fun to think. St. Paul is going to go off and he's going to preach the gospel to all the known world, to the ends of the earth. And he needs something. He needs some kind of symbol. So that's what the public relations guy brings up to him. Listen, you got to have an emblem. You got to have a symbol, some kind of logo. You got to have an image, some kind of sign of your faith. And Paul says, oh, I got one of those. And the public relations man says, like what? He says, well, I got this cross. A cross. Public relations man goes crazy. He laughs his head off. You can't popularize a thing like that. It's absolutely mad. I mean, y'all, the cross. It was a universal symbol of shame at the time. If you were carrying a cross towards your ultimate demise, you deserve, in everybody's mind, you deserve shame, dishonor, and embarrassment. It was an excruciating symbol of torture. It described indignity and pain and ugliness. In fact, modern orator Cicero said, it was unbecoming of a Roman citizen to even utter the word cross. In other words, it was almost a cuss word. But, says Muggeridge, it wasn't mad. It's worked for centuries. bringing out all the creativity of people, all the love and disinterestedness in people, the symbol of suffering. Yeah, I said, that's it. It's the symbol of suffering. Well, kind of made me think, how about that in Scripture? Where is the best possible place to find a passage that would make sense of the whole understanding of Paul thinking that the cross is a wonderful symbol for the faith? And I was drawn towards 1 Corinthians 1:18 and following, where he says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's a power of God to us who are being saved. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the intelligence of the intelligent." So where's the one who's wise? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. And then let me go down to verse 26 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from a human perspective. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one may boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, in order that, as is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." One of my favorite book titles is by a guy named Tom Sine, and it's written years and years ago. I'm trying to see if I can see a copy on my desk here. I usually have one close by, but I don't see it right now. But it's called The Mustard Seed Conspiracy. Don't you love that name for a book title? The Mustard Seed Conspiracy. It basically says God chose the weak things, the dishonorable things, the things of little reputation to utterly confound the wise. And think about it, y'all. I mean, throughout the Bible, I mean, blowing trumpets to bring down the city Jericho, blowing trumpets, or a forgotten shepherd boy becoming the greatest of the Israelite kings, and then described as a man after God's own heart, or a baby in a cattle trough to set the world right side up, a cross as your logo to change the nations for Christ. Makes no sense. I mean, no sense whatsoever. It's foolishness. And yet, with that foolishness, the world has changed. Now, we've been told, I think, for some time now, that in our contemporary era, to submit to the ultimate wisdom of the world, and I think that what that is right now, honestly, is science. I mean, science, that's the wisdom of wisdom. Bank on the facts, bank on the researchers, bank on the numbers, facts, observations of the scientists. But as we found out, even science is not infrequently wrong. I mean, COVID facts and policies aside, of course. But I was looking on the web the other day trying to find some times when science wasn't all that trustworthy. Now, the first one I have a real bias towards, because I learned that, yes, it's a planet. But Pluto is a planet. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. And this year, it isn't again. Got it? Until it's going to be again. I mean, so there you go. Pluto. Ulcers are caused by stress. That's what science told us. And now we know it's unequivocally wrong. Ulcers are caused by bacteria, and the researchers proved it, actually won the Nobel Prize in 2005 for it. And that's true until, you know, it's not. Or how about the unbreakable laws of Newtonian physics? Unbreakable. Until we discovered quantum physics with mechanics that completely changed the way we understand the world. On a quantum level, things get crazy in ways that are really kind of hard to comprehend. This is kind of fun for me because when I was taking geometry when I was a sophomore in high school, they made us learn the Pythagorean theory. Anybody remember that? Pythagoras and his followers were almost religiously obsessed with numbers. And one of their key doctrines, scientific doctrines, was that all numbers could be expressed as the ratio of integers. So along comes a guy named Hippasus, and he says, well, no. I mean, the square root of 2 is irrational. And it shocked the Pythagoreans, and so they took him out. How's this for good science? They took him out and drowned him. Yeah, they just drowned him at sea, which isn't funny at all, but just kind of funny, the approach of science at that point. If we're wrong, you die. The Greeks were thought to be scientifically advanced. They held a crazy belief that you could grow, I kid you not, lambs. Yeah, the animal, lambs on trees. This allegedly rose out of the Indies, where people described trees on which wool grew. The idea of lambs growing on trees persisted well into the 1600s. This is interesting. Time is constant. So said the scientists. But then a guy came along named Einstein, and he showed that light was the only constant. The world actually thought he was crazy for thinking that unscientific thought. These days, however, NASA has to adjust its clocks because time runs differently depending on how far you are from a source of gravity and how fast you're going. In fact, it's not like it's a way out there in space kind of thing. A clock at sea level ticks faster than a clock at the top of the Empire State Building, which is amazing to me. Science, right? It's absolutely one way until it's absolutely not that way. Water's an Earth thing. An Earth thing only. Science told us so. But as NASA recently discovered, there's more water on Jupiter's moon of Europa than there is on our own planet. Science has convinced us that apes are the smartest non-human animals. But now studies are showing, au contraire, there's some birds that are smarter yet. Remember 2006 when historians found evidence that King Tut had died in a chariot accident, which is kind of a noble way to die, I would think. In 2014, however, scientists discovered that he had in fact died because of inbreeding. Going to study up more about that one. He died of inbreeding. And then dinosaurs, leathery skin, right? I mean, that's the way we learned it, and that's the way it is, and that's what science keeps throwing up in front of our face. Now we have come to the conclusion, scientists have, that they were mostly covered in feathers. Get your mind around that. Put your dinosaur in feathers if you can. So the whole point is science is the irrefutable gospel of every age until it's not. And then what? And then what? So 1 Corinthians 1, remember that's where we're at, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now I want to take those words real quick. Being saved. That's fascinating to me. Being saved. I love E. Stanley Jones. You remember he was the great missionary to India? He said, I am a Christian in the making. Now, a Christian, he meant a Christ-like one. And so I don't think there's any doubt he would say, yeah, there was a point where E. Stanley Jones was definitely saved, so to speak. He knew the salvation that the gospel provides. But even being saved, he says, I am being saved. Even having been saved, I am being saved. In other words, there is something God's still doing in me to make me more Christ-like, the Christ that he wants me to be. So are you being made today? And the answer is, yeah, every one of us is a something in the making. So what is that something? Are you a Christian in the making, a Christ-like one in the making, or something else? And you know something? It might depend on your logo, if you know what I mean. Old Asbury Seminary professor, actually was a president, and one of the prominent presidents of Asbury Seminary was a guy named J.C. McPheeters. And he was kind of kicking around. He was in his 90s, but in good health and kicking around the campus. And occasionally someone would walk up and say, hey, how you doing, Dr. McPheeters? And he'd say, I am improving. I like that. So the question is, are you today? Are you improving? And if you are improving, how's it happening? By the ever-changing science or by the never-changing wisdom of the cross? And remember these lines, so incredible out of the passage today. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So the omnipotent, almighty, most high God of the universe, shamefully suffering for others, for you, for me, the most foolish and the wisest thing of all at the same time, depending on your perspective. All right, it's a wrap. Been an honor to have you listen to the Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast today with Matt Friedman. Hey, check out our books on Amazon.com. Also have a Substack. Love for you to check out the Substack that we put out there. But the book that you probably ought to be looking at right now is The Doctrine of Good Works. Check it out. Always, always tell others about our podcast. And remember, my wife thanks you, my daughter thanks you, my sons and their wives thank you, and I can assure you that I thank you for listening to Life-Changing Discipleship today. Love God, live clean, keep the faith, make disciples, and God bless you, dear friends. We'll see you back here real soon.